Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. For he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Father, we thank you for this scripture and just these psalms that we have that we can learn of you and use to praise you with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Psalm 1, we saw what kind of man God blesses. He blesses the man who follows his ways, who doesn't follow evil men, but who meditates on the scriptures and keeps it, and that's who God blesses. Now, this one's kind of on a national level. He says, Psalm 2, verse 1, Why do the heathen rage? In other words, just all the nations, okay, the people without God. Why do they rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about all these schemes that we have that are against God, okay? And we have them. Oh, we have them. We're always making plans without God, right? I mean, man's going to bring peace on earth, right? We used to have the League of Nations. That worked out real well, right? Right before World War II. And then we got the United Nations. We thought that was going to secure peace. We had the Security Council who could veto everything. United States, France, Russia, China. What happened? Well, Russia didn't turn out to be much of an ally, did they? China went from being the Republic of China, from being the people, whatever, Taiwan, the free China, to being communist China. And then, so the Security Council isn't so secure. And then the whole UN seems to be taken over by the Arab nations. They've got so many votes and all that. They just, all these things that bring, it's all done by them, all kinds of things. I forget how many hundreds of resolutions they passed regarding the Middle East, and the only one that was ever favorable to Israel was the one that originally partitioned it and gave them the land. But even then, they didn't give them all the land they had. They split it in half, that all Jordan and everything was Arab, and the other half was Israel. So Israel got half of it. Then they keep trying to cut it down and cut it down. Every single one that's come by since has been anti-Israel. Well, we can make all our anti-Israel plans we want, but God has his plans for Israel. So we're raging. We've got all kinds of ideas. We've got those peace things. We've got what to do with Jerusalem. The Pope wants to control it as an international city. They've got all these proposals. What are we going to do with Jerusalem and so forth? Well, God has his own plans, and he's just going to laugh at what we come up with because we think we've got all this control, but what we imagine is a vain thing. In other words, it's just vapor. It just disappears. The kings of the earth, okay, the big shots. Who would the kings of the earth be now? Well, we're talking Putin in Russia, the President of the United States, the German Chancellor, the head of the European Union, all these big shots. They get together, have conferences, and make all these decisions and treaties and whatever. But so they set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. They certainly do. But they take it against the Lord, don't they? I mean, one example, what has the United States been going around doing? We've been trying to go force nations around the world to adopt homosexual marriage and pro-homosexual things. We threatened to cut off the aid from the African countries unless they do it, and all kinds of things. Most of them have told us to go take a hike, which I'm grateful for. We've also promoted abortion around the world. Hillary Clinton, years ago, went over to China and praised their one-child policy and their forced abortion policy. So what are we doing? We're going around and making plans that are against God, right? I know abortion's against God. We're going around trying to do it. We're counseling together, trying to defeat God, okay, and against His anointed. Okay, His anointed, of course, is Jesus Christ, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." That sounds kind of like the women's rights movement, the homosexual rights movement, now the gay marriage amendment, all this kind of stuff. We're trying to throw off God's rules, aren't we? God's ways, which is just foolish. Because how can you? I mean, that's like trying to throw away the laws of physics. Right? It just doesn't work. I mean, yeah, you can make an airplane that'll soar above the ground, but you're not breaking any laws. You just learned how to work within them. And we try to break God's laws, it's just going to cost us. It's like all these ones, the early ones that wanted to fly and they strap wings to their arms and jump off a cliff. Okay, they didn't exactly work out too well. But we want to throw off God's way. And we do. We think that'll be wonderful. We think now, we think that birth control, we can throw off immorality, throw off God's rules against not committing abortion, not committing adultery. But even that wasn't enough. Now they've gone to abortion. When I think abortion, they say, well, if we've got that, that way we can do anything we want. I mean, one example, there was some celebrity, I don't know who it was, I think a talk show host of some sort, when the Supreme Court overturned Texas abortion clinic laws, which was totally a travesty. If you read Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas's, he's like, that was just picking and choosing, doing what you wanted to do. It wasn't by law at all. It was totally wrong the way they threw it out, but they just wanted to. But this talk show host comment was, it was very crude. I won't quote it the way he said it, but basically he said, now you're free to go be immoral in Texas. That's why they're rejoicing, because they think they've thrown off the cords and the shackles of God's horrible rules, of, you know, and so now they're free. Well, what are they free with? Well, they're free for heartbreak, divorce, abortion, venereal disease, AIDS, all this kind of stuff. That's what they've really gotten. They didn't throw off anything. He that sitteth in the heavens. Okay, here we are. We're ready. The heathen are raging. We're trying to do all these things, the leaders of the world. But God isn't shook. Doesn't bother him a bit. He's not worried. Oh no, what are they going to do now? You know, it's going to cause. He sits in the heavens. I mean, when you sit on the throne of all the universe, you really don't have to worry about all this. He's in control of all things. So he shall laugh. He just laughs at us. It's like, I don't know. I can't think of a good example. Just, it's like a, you know, I don't know. It'd be like me going and saying, I'm going to overthrow the president of the United States. Okay. What could I do? You know, I'm not going to get very far if I go try to walk in the White House. They're going to stop me long before I get there. He's not going to be worried about me. Okay. We're just a little, whatever. No, that's not going to happen. Well, that's not even close to saying we're going to rebel against God. God just laughs at us. There's no way we could ever threaten his control or lordship. So he shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. What we don't count on, we're just so prideful and arrogant. We think we're going to throw off all of God's rules. And it's like, you know, that's not going to work. Didn't work for Satan. It's sure not going to work for us. But when God's ready, he's going to judge. He's not going to allow us to get away with it. It says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. So the biggest conflict is right around Israel, isn't it? Around Jerusalem, this and that. God said, no, you can argue over who's going to control it. Is it Israel? Is it the Arabs? Is it the Pope? Is it the UN? Who's going to control this? They argue about it. God said, nope, when I'm ready, I'm going to put my king on my hill. Okay, it belongs to God. God's going to control it. We're not going to stop him one bit. He said, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Okay, obviously he's talking about Jesus Christ, right? He's identified him as his son. And so he said, he is going to be my king. He's going to one that's going to rule. And we know he is going to rule. And he's going to rule from Jerusalem. It's exactly what. So people fighting, it's just kind of a waste, isn't it? You know, it'd be like, I don't know, you know, somebody going out and try to claim some property that doesn't belong to them. You know, you may go out and you could go out on a vacant lot and you could put up a sign and say, okay, this is mine, belongs to me. And you may think you're doing real well till the owner shows up. And then he's got the deed, the police with him, and guess what? Guess who's going to win? You're not. You're going to get kicked out. So that's what we're trying to do. Men are trying to control God's territory and take over his kingdom, and he just laughs at us. Ask of me, the Son, ask of the Father, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Not only is Jesus Christ going to rule Jerusalem and Israel, he's going to rule the whole world. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Anybody that opposes God, that's what you're going to get. It's like we're a bunch of ceramic ware, and he's got a rod of iron. Okay, which one's going to hold up, the rod of iron or the ceramic ware? Okay, he's going to destroy all the opposition. Point is, get on his side. Don't be opposing him. Be wise now. So he said, now wake up. This is what's going to happen. God is going to rule this earth. He's going to send his son to rule directly from Jerusalem. He's going to judge. He's going to win. So what should we do? We should be wise. Therefore, O ye kings, I don't care if you're the king of the whole earth, whatever power you've got. They talk about the president of the United States being the most powerful person in the world, all that sort of stuff. Well, yeah, they've got a lot of power, but not compared to God. He says, be instructed, learn something. Ye judges of the earth. We've got judges now that think they can do anything they want too, don't they? You know, if it's abortion, they just vote for it. It doesn't matter whether it's really legal or right procedure. They just try to shape the country in the form of what they think is right and wrong. It's like, no, there is an ultimate judge, and even if you sit on the Supreme Court, you're not it. Serve the Lord with fear. That's the first thing we forget. We forget fear, and we should, because if you don't fear God, you don't know him. You're not in it. Now, he's loving, he's wonderful. It's kind of like what I said about my grandfather. I got away with a lot because I was his only grandson. And this happened with my dad. When I push him, my dad was like, son, you don't know what you're messing with. He knew. It's like, that's a God. We're pushing him, but we don't know what we're messing with. We need to fear God, respect him, honor him, be afraid of his judgment, and rejoice. See, we don't have to be, it's not a terrible thing. We get to rejoice, but rejoice with trembling. Because when you're in the presence of great power, you need to be very careful. So we can rejoice in God, but we need to be aware of how small and weak we are and how great he is. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Doesn't take much, does it? You've got Jesus Christ, he's going to have all power, he's going to reign everything, so what do you want to do? You better get on his side. You better bow down, kiss the Son. In other words, bow down, kiss his ring, whatever. Subject yourself unto him. Give your life to Jesus Christ, because if he's just a little bit angry with you, you're gone. Just a tiny bit. So we need to be bowed and humble in front of him. Okay, let's do one more. Psalm 3. And this one has a heading. Okay, usually kind of a setting or a summary or maybe a musical. Sometimes it's a musical notation, what instrument to play it on. But this one kind of gives a summary of when it was written. Psalm 3 says, a psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son. So that's when Absalom drove him out of Jerusalem and all this and nearly took over. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Well, yeah, David could say that. Most of the entire country was up against him. He had a few loyal followers and people that went with him, but most everybody turned and went with Absalom and turned against him. So he felt like the whole world is against him, and he had good reason. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. So that means pause and think about it. That's what people say sometimes when things aren't going well for you. You would think at those times that's when you have friends to console and support you. But a lot of times when everything goes wrong, what happens? like, oh, well, you know, God's just against you. You must be doing something really wrong because God's not blessing you. It happens in some of these prosperity churches. If you really get sick and they do healing service and you don't get healed, sometimes they kick you out of the church. They excommunicate you because it means you don't have enough faith. It's your fault that you're still sick, which is really bad because then you're hurt, kicking people when they're down. You're pushing them out when they really need the most help. But it's a result of their bad doctrine. So that's what you feel like. You feel like when things are bad, now everybody turns against you and says, see, God isn't going to help you. Remember Job's so-called friends. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. So David said, the whole world's after me, which it sure was. But he said, you know, that really doesn't matter compared to God. If God is your shield, then who can harm you? So he says, you're the one that protects me. You're the one that lifts me up again after that. So he cries out to God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. So stop and think about that. That he did. We cried out to God, and he hears us. Crying out to God is not a big deal. I mean, everybody does it. It's, you know, foxhole religion. You know, anytime you're in desperate need, even devout atheists will usually cry out to God. But the amazing part is when he hears you. And he hears you because of Jesus Christ. If we cry out to him in Jesus Christ, then he will hear and say, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. So he had a good night's sleep. Here he is on the run from the capital, his country being taken over by his rebellious son. They're out to kill him. And what does he say? He cried out to God, and God gave him peace. He had a good night's sleep. I thought that's wonderful. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. It doesn't matter what their numbers are. If God has got you, then you're okay. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. So, what's going to save us from all the dire consequences? Well, same for our personal lives, same for our country. It's the Lord that can save us. He's the one that has us. His salvation belongeth unto the Lord. He's the one that can save. So it's not an army, it's not elections, whatever. It's God who's going to have to save us. And he loves his people. He loves his church. So like we read in the last song, let's kiss the sun. Let's be on the sun side. Let's accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let's give him control of our lives. Let's don't do things our way. Let's do things his way. And he will be our salvation. He will be our protector. In that case, his blessings are on his people. We just need to make sure we're his people. So I think that's the secret to it.